Hello once again. I'm Pastor Bronk Flint, and I appreciate you joining us on these lessons in discipleship training. And this is our sixth lesson. And up till now, I hope you've went through the previous five lessons. And this one is discipleship training lesson six. It's prayer, your lifeline to God. And it's part one. So there'll be two parts to this. Prayer, your lifeline to God, part one. So we want to talk tonight, or today, whenever you're watching this lesson, about prayer and the necessity of prayer, and spend some time on that, because it is truly your lifeline and my lifeline to God. Once we are born again, it's of a great necessity that we continue to communicate with God, and that's what prayer is. It's simply just communication. Before we start in on today's lesson, I want to just go over the last five for just a moment, more so just by title than anything else. We started out, if you've been with us and went through this in sequential order, we started out with lesson one on what just happened to me. And so we begin to describe to each one of you the process in which you've received the Lord. And we want to welcome you. We want to continue every one of these lessons to say, welcome to the kingdom of God. Welcome to the family of God. We've said from the very beginning, you haven't joined a church or a company like a business, but you've joined the family of God. And then, of course, church is part of that, but it's deeper than just church. It's the family of God. And you've come into the family of God. If you're watching these lessons, or maybe you've been in the family of God, but you've been out there a while and you're coming back and you say, I just need to renew my place of stability. So that's what we're here for. We want to make sure that we get into your arsenal everything in your foundation that you need to stay close to God and keep building and keep growing. So the first lesson was, what just happened to me? And I hope you've went over that lesson maybe several times, and it explains what happens to us when we pray what is called the sinner's prayer, or we accept Christ into our life. There really is a transformation. It's not just words said, but we explained what that transformation was. And then in lesson two, what just happened to me, lesson two was what just happened to me, and we defined certain spiritual terms. And we said the definition of those terms were not of great importance of themselves, but it was what they meant was the greatest importance. Like born again, what does that mean? Or a new creature in Christ, what does that mean? And so they're both the same, and we explained how that something inwardly really transformed inside of you the moment that you got born again or accepted Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. Why is that important? It's vital, because what happens in that is there is a recreation of the basic you. The basic you is a spirit person, and there's a recreation of that. When that happens, a lot of wonderful things happen. Two things happen simultaneously. You become spiritually dead to what you once were, and then you become spiritually alive to a life that is new and eternal. In that new creation, there are appetites. I like to call them appetites, desires, want-tos that are created inside of you. There's a desire to get to know God. There's a desire to follow righteousness. There's also an appetite that says, it's a change of appetite. It says, I don't want to do that anymore. I used to do that, and I used to go to the bars, or I used to run with my sinner friends. I still love them, but there's things that I can't do anymore. And it's not because a preacher is telling you don't do it. It's because there's someone on the inside, which is God, that has changed you and created new appetites inside of you. Lesson three was the three keys to spiritual growth, and we went over that. The first one was, once you're born again, it's so imperative that you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, is it just a God himself. It's the Spirit of God. God comes from heaven. He's here on this planet, and that you're filled with him. And we explained what that means. But being filled with the Holy Ghost is vital for you to continue to find your strength in Christ and to grow spiritually. Then the other thing we said was the Word of God. The Word of God is so important, and we define that if you receive the Holy Spirit, get into the Word of God. And number three, vitally important, is that you continue to go to church. Now, sometimes you don't have an opportunity to be in a physical church, but it's important that you're in a church where you have a pastor or in leaders that are encouraging you. And also, it's important that you're continuing to hear messages and teachings on the Word of God. These lessons are really a skeletal lessons. They're just to kind of introduce you and to make sure you get started. They're not the finishing touches. The church and everything that you'll learn in church, if you have a good spiritual leader and a good teacher, you'll find that process, and that process kind of adds meat and muscle to your skeletal structure. But we want to get you started. But the three things we said was baptism in the Spirit, Word of God, and attending church. And the reason why that we said that is not because we're making it up ourselves. We looked in Scripture and we said, aha, we find these things there, that if people were filled with the Spirit, got into the Word of God, and continually gathered together for the purpose of church, they stayed strong. And that's how the first church was built, and that's vitally important for you and I. The other thing, lesson four, was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We took the first part of spiritual growth and took it to another level and said, here's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is. And we explained who the Holy Spirit was and what His desire is to baptize you, which the word baptize means to be fully immersed. We explained that when you received Christ, something spiritual and powerful happened to you. The Holy Spirit stepped in. He changed you. But then at baptism, He wants to fill you up. And we explained in that lesson how He wants to fill you up. He also wants to give you a spiritual gift when He fills you up. And that spiritual gift is none other than praying with other tongues or speaking in other tongues, however you hear that said. But it's the same process. The Holy Spirit comes in with a gift, and it's an initial physical gift. Once you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you have the wherewithal to be able to begin to pray and communicate with God in a spiritual gift called praying in other tongues. And the benefits are endless. They are absolutely endless. We cited some of those, but we sure didn't get to the end of those. But we just gave you the reference to be filled and how to get filled, and then we prayed with everyone of how to be filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, go back and listen to that. Continue to attend church. You're going to hear that a lot around here, how to be filled and how to walk in the Spirit. And then last week we had the lesson on spiritual food and the Word of God. So we went back to the second part of the three parts that we listed to start with on spiritual growth. And we said the Word of God and how important it is to get into the Word of God and just to simply read the Word of God, just to begin to simply read it, and how that it is a spiritual food for you, and it's the spiritual nutrients for you to begin to grow in Christ and grow in the good things of God. And we made some suggestions. It weren't commands, but we made suggestions of how to get into the Word of God, where to spend time, how much time to spend, and how that you could divide your devotional time in giving yourself over to the Word of God. And we explained where to start, because that's vital, because sometimes people don't, you know, okay, the Bible is the Word of God. Where do I start? So we talked about that last week. Today, we want to talk about prayer, and we want to talk about one aspect of prayer. Now, I will tell you this, and I don't want you to get confused. I just want you to understand, because you're six lessons in now, so you're starting to grow. And it's important for you to understand that prayer can be divided actually in two parts. You'll find later in other lessons that we'll add some other limbs to prayer, and you'll understand some things about worship and about confession of the Word. And I'm only mentioning that now because later you'll hear that again and have a greater understanding. But for this lesson, prayer can be divided into two parts. And the first part we're going to mention tonight is the part that praying or communicating with God with your understanding. There's another second part that we can list and we'll talk about next time, and that is praying in your spiritual language. And so we're going to talk about that more extensively later. But now we want to talk about prayer. And prayer is vital. And somebody might say, what is prayer? Well, I'm just kind of, some of you watching this lesson are further along than others. Some of you are like, I've never been around any of this. And so we want to take it from the, from kind of the basic foundation from wherever any of you might possibly be and move forward in that process. So what is prayer? Well, prayer is just simply talking to God. It's just communicating with God. And that's important for you to understand because your communication with God is vital. It's essential. It's the nutrients for your spiritual growth. We said last week the Word of God is, and that's one part of it. Then the second part of nutrients, in other words, how you get fed on a continual basis, is communicating with God on a daily basis. And it's your lifeline. It's your communication to God. I will say this, and this is vitally important because a lot of times people will ask me, how do I pray? Well, one thing you need to understand is you can't mess it up. You can't mess up prayer when you're starting out. You just need to start communicating. It's talking to God. It's talking to God, and it is essential. It's the lifeline, as I said, from God to you. God has become, this is very important that you understand this, God has become your Father, and He wants to answer your prayers. God has become your Father, and He wants to answer your prayers. A lot of times you'll hear in the world people say, and maybe you believed this, I might have believed this one time myself, that God is just everybody's Father. Well, what they're saying is God is the creator of the human race, and that is a true and vital statement. But just because He's the creator doesn't mean He's the Father. When the Bible talks about our Father, it's talking about our spiritual Father. And Jesus spoke to those who did not know God as their Father, and He said, especially to those, He was being very derogatory because He was having to correct them, and because they were doing some things that were really hurting people, and He said, your Father is the devil. And so we're not talking about that the devil actually can create people, but he can influence their lives through a sin nature so that they serve him all of their life. But once you come out of that, once you come out of that matrix, if you want to say it that way, God becomes your spiritual Father. And once you say, Jesus, come into my life, that's the first time that God becomes your real spiritual Father. And then from that point on, He's always your Father, and He wants to answer your prayers. God's become your Father. He wants to answer your prayers. John 16, 23 and 24, I'm going to read that for you. It says, and in that day, this is Jesus talking, He said, in that day you shall ask me nothing. And what He was talking about was in the day in which salvation is available to all mankind, and that's now for you and I. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you, or give it you. So Jesus said this, when I provide all of this salvation through the cross, after that, you're going to be able to talk directly to your Heavenly Father, and you're going to be able to make requests in my name. The second verse, it says, hitherto, or up till now is the word, hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Here's what Jesus wants us to understand. We can communicate, and we should communicate on a daily basis, talk to Jesus. He's a friend. He's our Lord. But the Lord Jesus directs our petitions to go to the Father. And so there's no like, am I going to mess this up if I ask Jesus for something? Absolutely not. But here's the understanding. The truth of the matter is this. Jesus said, when I'm glorified, when I do what I'm supposed to do, you're going to be able to talk directly to the Father, and you're going to be able to petition Him in my name. And He said, if you'll do that, then it's the Father's will for Him to answer that prayer so that you can have great joy. Like, hey, I got my prayers answered. So we want you to understand that you're free as a son or daughter of God to begin to ask God for things, and God wants to answer that. Now, as you grow, as you grow, you'll find out what things are really God's will that you can ask for and what things are not really what he would have you ask for. They might be what one verse of Scripture says, amiss. In other words, it's a little bit out of order. You that's not the thing to ask God for, but you'll learn more about that. But right now, as a newbie, as somebody starting out, I would say just know that you can request a lot from God, and he wants to answer it. And of course, you're not going to ask for something bad or something sinful or somebody else's wife or somebody else's husband. Those are ridiculous things. Those are things to be laughed about. You're going to ask it for good things because there's a new spirit on the inside of you. So Jesus said this, God wants to answer your prayers. That's the first thing you need to understand. And as I said, there's basically two types of prayers that we want to discuss in this lesson. We'll later talk about the prayers of kind of worship and confession. But for all practical purposes, those come under this particular form of prayer, which is to pray with our understanding. And as I said, next lesson, we'll talk about praying in spiritual words or praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, how do I pray? How do I pray? I've had a lot of people that are just been born again. They said, can you send me prayers? Well, there are books that I can recommend later that are really good books to have a prayer that you can actually offer in certain situations. And we'll probably offer that later on in this outline of discipleship training. But how do I pray? Somebody says, I've had people say, how do I start? Where do I start? What is prayer? Well, it's communication with God. It's talking to God. But then what do I say when I start? Well, that is a great question. That is a wonderful question. And all I can do is answer it according to how Jesus tried to help his disciples. And this comes from the book of St. Luke, and it's chapter 11, verse 1. And the Bible says this, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, that he ceased. And this is speaking of Jesus, that he was praying in a certain place. One of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, isn't that the question that you're asking me? And how do we pray? Tell us how to pray. How do I start? How do I end? How long should it be? What should be the request or non-request in it? Teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Now he's talking about John the Baptist, the one that preceded Jesus. And then Jesus said unto them, when you pray, he's going to teach them now, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So Jesus gives them a starter here. He gives them a starter plan. And so we're going to break this down for you because we want you to understand something, that here is men who really don't know how to pray. And maybe you're somebody that says, okay, I just got born again. I just got saved. I don't know where to start. Well, Jesus gave them a starter. He gave them something to start with. Well, we just read this, and obviously you know by me reading it that it only takes a matter of seconds to read this. So we're not saying to you that your whole prayer life can be contingent on a prayer that only lasts 30 seconds or less. But what we want you to understand, if you're starting out and you're saying, I don't know where to start, well, here's a good starter. Here's a good prayer to pray. You actually can pray this prayer in its entirety. But this prayer is really to be understood more of a outline. It's to be more of Jesus actually presented it to them, not as one concise prayer, but something that would be an outline for his disciples to follow. In other words, they would be able to take this outline and build upon it. They would be able to take this structure and build upon it, and they would be able to develop a prayer life before God as a result of having this particular prayer in front of them. Now let's look at it and break it down for just a moment. Luke 11:1 says this. We just read that they gave him the request. The disciples ask him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And so this is the prayer that he began to teach them in and say to them. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the very first thing that we need to understand is that the first thing that the Father desired was that they would come before him and that they would say to him, Father, hallowed be thy name. Now, what does that mean? Hallowed be thy name. It simply means, Lord, sanctify your name, or I want to thank you for your name. So the very first approach in our prayer, when we come before God, Jesus gives us the key right to start with, hallowed be thy name. This is where I would say to you, pause and take time to give thanks and to worship God for who he is and what his name is and everything that God has done in your life. The very beginning of prayer should always really start out, according to the outline that Jesus gives us, with worship. It should start out with a hallowedness. The word hallowed in the Greek or the original means to sanctify or to lift up. And so when we come before the Lord, Jesus is saying to his disciples, and I would say to you, whatever time that you're spending in prayer, the very first thing you want to do when you approach your Father in prayer is to say, Father, hallowed be your name. Thank you. And then you spend time just giving God thanks for what he has done in your life. What should I thank him for? Thank him because you have been restored to God. Thank him that things are going to change as a result of your restoration to God. Thank him that now he's your Father and you can freely come to him and make petitions before him and ask him freely of anything that you want. Hallowed be thy name. That's the first part. That's the first thing that we start with. We start with worship, and God loves, I will tell you this, God is very partial to worship. He loves worship, not because he's some egotistical person, but worship creates communion. Now, we're going to talk about worship a little later on in some lessons and get more extensively into it. But to teach you how to pray, the very first posture in prayer is worship. Hallowed be thy name. Father, I want to thank you. So you can spend as much time just thinking of good things to say, and maybe you want to list. I thank you for this. I thank you for my dog. I thank you for my cat. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for my husband. I thank you for my church. That's perfectly acceptable. Anything that you can communicate with God on as in worship. But one thing that he loves to hear people talk about to him in worship is thanking him for Jesus and for his shed blood and what has happened as a result of that change. So simple words of adoration, what is that? You know, when you thank somebody for something, you just say, thank you for this. Or you tell your husband or wife or brother or sister or someone you love, I love you. I love you. Well, they feel that affection. And there's something that happens. There's a chemistry in the natural that takes place when you tell somebody, I love you. But God loves people to tell him that he's loved. So hallowed be thy name is the posture we start with. And that means I love you. I worship you. I want more of you. And so I would say prayer is, first of all, thanking God for who he is and what he wants to do in your life. Thy kingdom come. That's the next part. You're asking God for his kingdom to come. Well, what does that mean? That means that you're asking God for his kingdom to come. What's his kingdom? Well, we understand that you've come into Christianity. We could boil it down to almost saying, God, let Christianity come in the earth. And let Christianity, this is where you begin to, you can actually ask God to, now you can transition from a place or a posture of thanking you, Lord, to actually a posture of petition. What's petition? Asking him for things. Asking him, Lord, let your kingdom come in my personal life or in the family or in my family, my sons, my daughter, my job, my, you know, my employment, whatever I'm, wherever I'm at, may your kingdom come and may your will be done as in heaven, so on earth. In other words, Lord, let everything that is right and prosperous and blessing in heaven, let it happen here. So you can actually, your areas of concern, because everybody has areas of concern. Now you're going to grow. You're going to grow in days ahead, and 2 years from now, prayer is going to be a whole lot more experienced and mature. But this is a perfect starter. Remember, these guys were, they had no idea, even though they had been around maybe church religion for years, or not church, but they were of a Jewish descent. They had been through the temple and the learning process of all the, you know, the Jewish prayers and those kinds of things. But they had no idea how to offer a true prayer to God. So Jesus said, start out with worship and then begin to ask God that God's perfect will is done in every aspect of your life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray that everything that God wants in your life will come to pass. So you can begin, this is where you begin to transition into petitions. Petitions also will later, and we'll talk more about this, turn into affirmations. What is an affirmation? Well, it's just affirming something that God has already said. In other words, if you use this outline, if you use this and say, well, I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer. I don't know where to start. I'm going to pray the Lord's Prayer. Well, after a while, you know, on Monday, you'll start out and you'll ask for certain things. But on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, or later on during the week, you're not going to just ask God for the same things over and over again, as in, God, will you give me this? There'll come a process, and we'll mention it now, but go into it more in depth later, that you'll begin to bring forth prayer in an affirmation. In other words, you'll begin to say, God, I thank you that which I have spoken is going to come to pass. You're going to save my husband. You're going to save my wife. You're going to make a way of an opportunity at work for me to witness to people, or things to change. And financial needs, you present those to the Lord. You ask God for it on Monday, but then later on, as Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, as you keep going forward, and of course, days really don't matter. I'm just giving an example. You begin to bring forth an affirmation. In other words, you ask, but then you just don't have to ask over and over the same things every day. You begin to say, what I asked for yesterday, I believe I receive it, and I say to you, thank you for it, Father. You can mention the same request, but then you turn it a little bit and present it in an affirmation or a confession of praise before the Lord. So we turn our petitions, as I said, into affirmation. He says on in that same prayer, give us day by day our daily bread. It's not wrong to ask God or request for daily bread in your physical needs and also in your spiritual needs. You're saying, Lord, Father, I'm asking you to begin to help me to develop spiritually. Give me these things. Teach me these things. And Lord, I thank you, and I'm asking you that all of the physical things that I need in this life, the job, the money, everything possible, you're going to develop this, as I said later, deeper in your prayer. But as a newbie or somebody just starting out, talk to God. He loves to hear from you, and he loves to hear you ask him something and then to affirm it as, I believe you're going to do it, Father, because I've asked in the name of Jesus. And he said, forgive us our sins. This is what Jesus said, teaching them to pray. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, or has, you might say, sinned against us. This is important as you go forward in Christ, because life is a long journey. And it's very important that you start with a good foundation in Christ and understand you're going to have many opportunities to make some really important decisions. Those decisions will be whether or not you're going to follow the change on the inside of you and go with that change every day. It's easy when you start out to have an exuberance like, yes, I'm going to do this forever. Well, 2 or 3 months from now, you're going to meet some maybe challenges. Maybe you've met them already, and you're going to make some have to make some valid decisions. Am I going to choose to follow the person that I know that I am now, or am I just going to, you know, lose it and say, you know, this doesn't work, or I don't have the strength to do it? You have the strength to do it. One, you've been born again, and two, many of you have been filled with the Spirit. I'm going to believe that every single one of you are filled with the Spirit before these lessons are over. But he says, forgive us our debt, or forgive us our sins. You were born again once, and when that happened, all of your sins were washed away. All of your past sins were washed away. The only thing is that we have a future. Once we are changed, we also have a future, and that future involves daily living. And daily living sometimes will involve things that will happen, and you don't intend for them to happen the way they happened, and maybe you went against that person on the inside. Maybe you said something, or maybe you treated someone some way, or maybe someone treated you in a different way than they should have. They were cruel to you, or you got cheated at work, or you got cheated here or there. God wants us to understand that the basic form of prayer involves this, is that we stay in a posture where everything is clean always between us and God. Now, that means repentance. That means asking the Lord to forgive us. That doesn't mean, by no way, does it mean getting saved or reborn again. It just means from the person that you already are, you just want to take a fresh bath or a washing in the Spirit of God or in the blood of Jesus. The scripture on that I would offer is, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now there he is speaking to people that are born again like you and I, and he's saying, you know, if you make a mistake, you don't have to carry that mistake around with you. If you confess it before God, let's say maybe you've been born again a week, maybe you've been born again a month, maybe you've been born again however long, and the first few days, the first week, you know, it didn't seem like anything went wrong. But then you had 3 days in a row where, well, maybe there were some words said that you shouldn't have said, or maybe there were some things happened that you got involved with just temporarily, and then you said, oh, no, that's not, well, what do I do? Well, the word says if we confess our sins, that doesn't mean you have to go to a pastor or a priest. You just privately confess it before God and say, Father, forgive me, wash me fresh and anew in the blood of Jesus. So what Jesus was teaching is an outline here, and he winds it up by saying, and if we forgive our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. It's very important for us to understand that as a new believer going forward, that you stay not only clean before God, but that you also endeavor always through his strength to forgive people around you, and that you do not harbor things. Then he said, and lead us not into temptation. This is some of the final part of the structured prayer that that Christ gave. As I said before, you can pray this prayer in 15 seconds, but that's not what it was meant for. It was meant to be a structured outline so you'd kind of know, I don't know how to pray. This teaches us how to begin in prayer. Asking God to lead you past every temptation of the flesh or that Satan will offer to develop you into your spiritual maturity. You can say, Lord, I don't know what this day holds, but I'm asking you to lead me past any temptation to my flesh to do wrong, to say wrong, also any temptation that Satan, my arch enemy, may have to try to turn my world around and keep me from doing what I need to do. Set aside times of devotion every day. This is vitally important. How long should I do that? I can't tell you exactly. I would suggest at least 30 minutes as a minimal that you're communicating with God, and that you find a place of privacy and that you communicate with God, because prayer is your lifeline to God. And I hope this helps. It gives you a good starter. And next time we'll talk about spiritual prayer or your prayer language and how to get started and live a life in praying in other tongues. God bless you, and I'll see you next time.